1937, before our birth. March 22nd, 1937. As I was walking today to a certain person, talking to a certain person, I recognized that she was suffering greatly in spirit, although exteriorly she pretended that she was very happy and was not suffering at all. Some people like that. Joyful, but so much suffering inside. You can't see. I felt inspired to tell her that what was troubling her was a temptation. Many people feel angry. It's a kind of temptation, but as if something real, but it's not exactly real. When I disclosed to her what was torturing her, she burst into tears and told me that she had come to see me precisely to speak to me because she felt that it would bring her relief. The suffering was of such a kind that the soul was being attracted by God's grace on the one hand and by the world on the other. So, tear torn off in two sides. She was going through a terrible struggle that brought her to the point of weeping like a little child. But she went away, soothed, and said, at peace. During Holy Mass, I saw the Lord Jesus nailed upon the cross amidst great torments. A soft moan issued from his heart. After some time, he said, I thirst for the salvation of souls. Happy, my daughter, to save souls. Join your sufferings to my passion and offer them to the Heavenly Father of sinners. I think nearly all the chapels of the community of the Mother Teresa, no? Of Calcutta, always this word, I thirst. I think up in the tabernacle, it's a word called, I thirst. When I see the burden is beyond my strength, I do not consider or analyze it or probe into it, but I run like a child to the heart of Jesus and say one word to him, you can do all things. And then I keep silent, because know that Jesus himself will intervene in the matter. And as for me, instead of tormenting myself, I use that time to love him. Suffering, of course, but just Jesus in your hand, then he will do the rest. So we are suffering, but don't just suffer together. Offer, and then praise the Lord. Monday of Holy Week, I asked the Lord to let me take part in his sorrowful passion that I might experience in soul and body to the extent that this is possible for a creature. His bitter passion. She has the courage to ask for this suffering, this courage to be part of spirit and body. I asked to experience all the bitterness insofar as this was possible. And the Lord answered that he would give me this grace, and that on Thursday, after Holy Communion, he would grant this in a special way. This evening, a certain young man was dying. He was suffering terribly. For his intention, I began to say the chaplet which the Lord had taught me. I said it all, but the agony continued. I wanted to start the litany of the saints, but suddenly I heard the words, say the chaplet. I understood that the soul needed the special help of prayers and great mercy. And so I locked myself in my room and fell prostrate upon God and begged for mercy upon the soul. Then I felt the great majesty of God and His great justice. I trembled with fear, but did not stop begging the Lord's mercy for the soul. Then I took the cross off my breast, the crucifix I had received when making my vows, and put it on the chest of the dying man, and said to the Lord, Jesus, look on this soul with the same love with which you looked on my holocaust on the day of my perpetual vows. And by the power of promise which you made to me in respect to the dying and those who would invoke your mercy on them, grant this man the grace of a happy death. His suffering then ceased, and he died peacefully. Oh, how much we should pray for the dying. Let us take advantage of mercy while there is still time for mercy. I realize more and more how much every soul needs God's mercy throughout life, in particular at the hour of death. This chaplet mitigates God's anger, as he said, as he himself told me. I felt myself so weak that were it not for Holy Communion, I would fall continually. One thing alone sustains me, and that is Holy Communion. From it, I draw my strength. In it is all my comfort. I fear life on days when I do not receive Holy Communion. I fear my own self. Jesus concealed in the host is everything to me. From the tabernacle, I draw strength, power, courage, and light. Here, I seek consolation in time of anguish. I would not know how to give glory to God if I did not have the Eucharist in my heart. My beloved native land, Poland, if you only knew how many sacrifices and prayers are offered to God for you, but be watchful and give glory to God, who lifts you up and singles you out in a special way, but know how to be grateful. I suffer great pain at the sight of the suffering of others. All these sufferings are reflected in my heart. I carry the torments in my heart so that it even wears me out physically. I would like all pains to fall upon me so as to bring relief to my neighbor. She wants to take all the pains of the other into herself. Amid terrible torments, I fix eyes on you, my God. And though a storm is gathering over my head, I know that the sun is not extinguished. Lord, do I wonder at the deceitfulness of creatures, but accept in advance whatever may happen. My lips are silent, while my ears are satiated with derision. I strive for silence in my heart amidst the greatest sufferings, and I protect myself against all attacks with the shield of your name. An ardent desire for this feast is burning up my whole soul. In fervent prayer for the hastening of the feast of Divine Mercy, I find some relief, and I have begun a novena for the intention of certain priests that God may grant them light and inspiration to apply for the promulgation of this feast, and that the Spirit of God inspire the Holy Father gathering regarding the entire matter. The novena consists of an hour of adoration before the Blessed Sacrament. I have implored God to hasten this feast and have asked the Holy Spirit to inspire certain people regarding this whole matter. I'm finishing this novena on Holy First Day. March 23rd, 1937. Today is the seventh day of the novena. I have received a great, inconceivable grace. The most merciful Jesus has promised that I will be present at the celebration of this solemn feast. This day, the 33rd, that is Tuesday of the Holy Week, is a day of which the Lord has granted me many graces. Certainly God's presence took hold of me, and at once I saw myself in Rome, in the Holy Father's Chapel, and at the same time, I was in our chapel. And the celebration of the Holy Father and the entire church was closely connected with our chapel and in a special way with our congregation. And I took part in the solemn celebration simultaneously here and in Rome. For the celebration was so closely connected with Rome that even as I write, I cannot distinguish the two, but I'm writing it down as I saw it. I saw the Lord Jesus in our chapel, exposed in the monstrance on the high altar. The chapel was adorned as for a feast, and on that day, anyone who wanted to come was allowed in. The crowd was so enormous that the eye could not take it all in. Everyone was participating in celebrations with great joy, and many of them obtained what they desired. The same celebration was held in Rome in a beautiful church, and the Holy Father with all the clergy was celebrating this feast. And then suddenly I saw St. Peter, who stood between the altar and the Holy Father. I could not hear what St. Peter said, but I saw the Holy Father understood his words. Then some clergymen, whom I did not know, began to examine me and to humiliate me, or rather, what I had written. But I saw how Jesus himself was defending me and giving them to understand what they did not know. Then suddenly, I saw how the two rays, as painted in the image, issued from the host and spread over the whole world, from host to light. The Blessed Sacrament and the Sacred is a living divine mercy. This lasted only a moment, but it seems as though it had lasted all day. And our chapel was overcrowded all day long, and the whole day abound in joy. Then suddenly, I saw on our altar the living Lord Jesus, just as he is depicted in the image. Yet, I felt that the sisters and all the people did not see the Lord Jesus as I saw him. Jesus looked with great kindness and joy at the Holy Father, at certain priests, at the entire clergy, at the people, and at our congregation. Then, in an instant, I was caught up to stand near Jesus, and I stood on the altar next to the Lord Jesus. And my spirit was filled with a happiness so great that I am unable to comprehend it all right about it. A profound peace as well as repose filled my soul. Jesus bent towards me and said with kindness, "What is it you desire, my daughter?" And I answered, "I desire worship and glory to be given to your mercy. I already am receiving worship by the institution and celebration of the feast. What else do you desire?" I then looked at the immense crowd worshipping the Divine Mercy, and said to the Lord, "Jesus, bless all those who are gathered to give glory to you and to venerate your infinite mercy." Jesus make a sign of the cross with his hand, and his blessing was reflected in the souls like a flash of light. My spirit was engulfed in his love. I felt as if I had dissolved and disappeared completely in God. When I came to myself, a profound peace was flooding in my soul. An extraordinary understanding of many things was communicated to my intellect, an understanding that had not been granted me previously. So many things you know about God is given. It's not that because we study, you don't get much things. I'm immensely happy, although I'm least of all, and I will not change anything of what God had given me. I would not want to change places even with a seraph. I would not want to change places even or as regards the interior knowledge of God, which he himself has given me. The intimate knowledge I have of the Lord is such as no creature had comprehended, particularly death of his mercy that envelops me. I'm happy with everything you give me. She doesn't want anything other things. Enough is enough, and just satisfy what God's given. Fullness. All of God's given is fullness. Don't jealous of the other people because they know more or they talk more. Doesn't concern you. You have the fullness of grace, the fullness of knowledge about God is good enough for you. You don't need to be a Brock doctor, become a following Jesus. No, you don't just one phrase is enough for yourself, for your whole life. One phrase of God. March 24, 1937, Wednesday of the Holy Week. My heart is languishing for God. I decide to come united with him. A faint fear pierces my soul. At the same time, a kind of flame of love sets my heart on fire. Love and sufferings are united in my heart. Love and suffering together. You say, oh, love is not always romantic. Love is always sacrificing for others. The one millimeter for yourself is not pure love. God asks for purity of intentions, purity of love. That's why Jesus says once, you have to be perfect as God the Father is perfect. I have felt great sufferings in my body, but I feel the Lord is upholding me, for otherwise I will not be able to bear it. Should I ask for to participate in the suffering spiritually and bodily, no? Oh my Jesus, I beg you on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the lights of your spirit, and give power to the words of priests so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to you. O Lord, Lord, give us holy priests. You yourself maintain them in holiness. O divine great high priest, may the power of your mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the evil traps and snares which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of your mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanity of priests. For you can do all things. So you offer lonely for all the priests. Eh? I think today, she is present next to Jesus. No? March 25th, 1937, Holy Thursday. During Holy Mass, I saw the Lord who said to me, lean your head on my breast and rest, like John. Jesus naked. So try to do so. When you come to the chapel, lean on the breast of Jesus. The Lord pressed me to his heart and said, I should give you a small portion of my passion, but do not be afraid. Be brave. Do not seek relief, but accept everything with submission to my will. Before, it's warning, it's yellow night already. going to read. When Jesus was thinking of me, such great pain filled my soul that it is impossible to express it. Physical strength left me. I left the chapel quickly and went to bed. I was oblivious of what was going on around me. My soul was filled with longing for the Lord, and all the bitterness of His divine heart was imparted to me. This lasted for about 3 hours. I asked the Lord to protect me from the eyes of those around me. Although I wanted to, I could not take any food all day until evening. I earnestly decided to spend the whole night with Jesus in a dark prison cell. I prayed until 11 o'clock. At 11, the Lord said to me, "Lie down and take your rest. I have let you experience in 3 hours what I suffer during the whole night." Immediately, I went to bed. So the 3 hours in the house of the high priest, it was captured in alone. So all this suffering, just to share part of it. I have no physical strength left. The suffering had deprived me of it completely. Although all this time, I had been in a sort of swoon. Every bit of Jesus' heart was reflected in my heart and pierced my soul. If these tortures had concerned me only, I would have suffered less. But as I looked at the one whom my heart has loved with all its might, and saw that he was suffering and that I could not bring him any relief, my heart dissolved in love and bitterness. I was dying with him, and I could not die, but would not have exchanged that martyrdom for all the pleasures in the whole world. In the course of this suffering, my love grew immeasurably. I know that the Lord was supporting me with His omnipotence, for otherwise I would not have been able to endure it for even a moment. Together with Him, I underwent in a special way all the various tortures. The world still has no idea of all that Jesus suffered. I accompanied Him to the Garden of Gethsemane. I stayed with Him in the prison. I went with Him before the judges. I underwent with Him each of the tortures. Not a single one of His movements or looks escaped my notice. I came to know all the omnipotence of His love and His mercy towards soul, even people is not responding. Jesus still loves. March 26, 1937, Friday. In the morning, I at once felt the torture of His 5 wounds in my body. This suffering continued until 3 o'clock. Although there is no outward sign of it, the torture is no less painful. I am glad that Jesus protected me from people's eyes. So, the same suffering of the 5 wounds. At 11 o'clock, Jesus said to me, "My host, you are refreshment for my tormented heart." I thought, after these words, that my heart would burn up. And He brought me into such close intimacy with Himself that my heart was exposed to His heart in a loving union, and I could feel the faintest stir of His heart and He of mine. The fire of my created love was joined with the ardor of His eternal love. This one grace surpasses all others in its immensity. His Trinitarian being enveloped me entirely. I am totally immersed in Him. My littleness is, as it were, wrestling with this immortal mighty one. I am immersed in incomprehensible love an incomprehensible torture because of his passion. All the concerns his being is imparted to me also. So she reads really one. Up to now, Jesus has been bringing me to know about and to have a presentiment of his grace, for today he granted it to me. I would not even dare to dream about it. My heart is in ceaseless ecstasy, as it were, although outwardly nothing disturbs my contacts with my neighbor or my attending to various matters. So at the same time she work, maybe she contact with people, as if nothing happened. But really, in theory, she suffered. Nothing is capable of interrupting my ecstasy, nor can anyone suspect it, because I have asked God to protect me from detection by people. And together with this grace, they entered my soul a whole ocean of light, enabling me to understand God and myself. Amazement overwhelms me entirely and leads me as if into a new ecstasy that God has deigned to descend to me, who am so little. At 3 o'clock, I pray prostrate in the form of a cross for the whole world. Jesus' mortal life was coming to an end. I heard his 7 words. Then he looked at me and said, "Beloved daughter of my heart, you are my solace amidst terrible torments." Jesus is commanding me to make a novena before the Feast of Mercy. And today I am to begin it for the conversion of the whole world and for the recognition of the Divine Mercy, so that souls will praise my goodness. I desire trust from my creatures, encourage souls to place great trust in my faithfulness mercy. Let the weak, sinful soul have no fear to approach me, to even if it had more sins than they are grains of sand in the world. All would be drowned in the unmeasurable depths of my mercy. When Jesus had given up his last breath, my soul dissolved from the pain, and for a long time I could not come to myself. I found some relief in tears. The one whom my heart had come to love has died. Will anyone understand my grief? In the evening, over the radio, I heard hymns, that is, psalms sung by priests. I burst into tears, and all the pain was renewed in my soul. And I wept sorrowfully, unable to find appeasement in this pain. Then I heard a voice in my heart, in my soul, "Do not cry. I'm not suffering anymore. And for the faithfulness with which you accompanied me in my suffering and death, your own death will be Solomon, and I will accompany you in that last hour. Beloved pearl of my heart, I see your love so pure, purer than that of the angels, and all the more so because you keep fighting. For your sake, I bless the world. I see your effort to please me, and they delight my heart."